This is Word of Mouth from NHPR. I'm Virginia Prescott. So, well, look, if you're used to starting sentences like that, you are not alone. These words, properly called asterismos, can be found everywhere, from boardrooms in Silicon Valley to rappers to podcasts to presidential speeches.
So that's why these letters are so important to me.
So in July, we started working with Airtel.
So, like, I seem to be getting along with you.
Now, throughout history, India has always been...
So while we have fought back from the worst of this recession...
NPR counted President Obama using now and so to begin 7 out of 11 paragraphs in one speech in 2010, making him a champion of extraneous words. So what's the story behind these words we say before we say what we really mean? Katie Waldman is Slate's word correspondent who wrote about asterismos. And Katie, welcome to Word of Mouth.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So I think I get it, but can you define asterismos for us?
Sure. So these are, as you said, the types of extraneous words that you use to set up a statement. So if I say, right, okay, look, here is the definition of asterismos. Those would be examples of the device. And it goes back very far. You can see it in Beowulf. Lots of ancient epic poetry starts that way, just to sort of establish that a new thing is beginning and to get everyone to pay attention. And as you said, it's all over the place now in formal oratory and in, you know, pop culture.
Those old stories like, behold, that kind of thing.
Yep, exactly.
So there's a little bit of a listen-up quality to asterismos.
Mm-hmm.
People in authority tend to use them. We mentioned Barack Obama and Silicon Valley stars. Mark Zuckerberg is full of them. Now, what about these words lend gravitas or importance?
Well, I think part of it is that they announce that something new is beginning, and they don't communicate meaning so much as they sort of signal that someone is about to say something, and there's kind of an authority to being able to clear the air and focus everyone. And then I think when you say, so, that's why we're doing this, it situates the statement in kind of a chain of causality, and it implies that you have reasons for saying what you're going to say.
Mm-hmm. So you've really thought this through.
Right.
In your article, you write that extraneous words are a luxury for those who don't need to prove their right to speak. What about all these other articles that we've seen recently claiming women need to be more straightforward with the way that we speak in particular? You know, not using words like or totally that somehow detract from meaning.
I think that's a really interesting point. There is a way in which asterismos communicates insecurity because there's a kind of hedging quality. If you say, okay, well, so, you know, as if you're trying to postpone saying what you actually want to say. On the other hand, I think that this particular device also communicates power and sort of your own confidence in what you're about to say because you're telling other people, listen, I've got something that you should pay attention to.
Mm-hmm. So okay can begin a strong statement, whereas okay is a little more cringeworthy as a question. Well, NPR hosts and reporters are apparently notorious for using asterismos. Any theories on as to why?
Well, I think that something that's kind of peculiar about this device is it has that air of authority, but it's also quite casual. You know, the word okay, so, now, they're all colloquial terms that you hear in everyday conversation. And so I think it sort of goes with the aura that you get around NPR. These are these friendly, casual, smarty pantses who are going to enlighten you but not be obnoxious while they do so. And so I think actually it's a perfect fit.
So, Katie, thanks.
Thank you.
Katie Waldman, she's Slate's words correspondent. She wrote the article, Listen. So what are these words we say before we say what we mean to say? You can find a link to read it for yourself at wordofmouthradio.org.